And now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
That's right, you can't stop it, you can only hope to contain it. The fastest half-hour podcast in the West. This is Live from the Pulpit, coming to you live and local from deep in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley, deep in the heart of Merced Church of Christ. I am your guide on this excursion into theology and other sundry matters, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little hope from my friends. Greetings, welcome to the program, glad you tuned in. Sponsor this half-hour, Christian Book Distributors. You know, I mentioned before, as a preacher, I need good tools for Bible study. And so I go to CBD for a lot of my Bible study needs. You can get all your Christian books and Bibles at bargain prices with a large selection of Christian fiction, kids' books, Christian music, DVDs, books, both classic works and contemporary works, and of course Bibles. CBD is sure to have exactly what you need. Go online and visit www.christianbook.com or call 1-800-CHRISTIAN. That's 1-800-247-4784. Christian Book Distributors, serving the Christian community for 30 years. I'm sure you've seen in the news another Planned Parenthood. This is the fifth Planned Parenthood video that has been dropped via the intraweb. And this one, they're showing these intact baby corpses is what it is. These are dead babies, dead because of these abortion doctors. I touched on this just briefly in the previous episode about Cecil the lion. Yeah, and you can go hear the previous episode via the internet on the website. God has told us, these living creatures, he's given us these things for food. And one of the most humane things that Dr. Palmer could do, the guy who shot Cecil the lion, is to feed starving children in Africa. And that's exactly what the carcass of that lion went toward, was to feed hungry people over in Africa. Most humane thing he could do, unless it is with the dead carcass of Cecil the lion. Rise, Peter, kill and eat, Acts 10, verse 13, Genesis 9, verse 3 as well. And there's more outrage over that. In fact, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but headlines today, to hunt or not to hunt, that is the question. Just a little different take on Shakespeare there. We're actually arguing the ethics of hunting. The ethics of hunting have been established long ago here in Genesis and Acts. And so, you know, as far as the ethics is concerned, you could talk about the legality of it, whether he could, under the African law, do what he did, but the ethics of it seems pretty clear from Scripture. When we get to the ethics of killing unborn babies, though, the line of demarcation is definitely drawn in the sand by God himself. God is concerned about the unborn. He's concerned about those children in utero, and they are babies in there, by the way. Both Jesus, the Messiah, John, the baptizer, they're both babies in the womb, according to the historian Luke, who, by the way, is inspired of the Holy Spirit. These are babies. And we are systematically, heartlessly, brutally slaughtering them in their mother's womb. Romans 1, verse 31. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Behold, brethren, behold, my friends, an apt description of America written in the first century. Okay, granted, Paul, he was not writing to describe American culture. Paul was writing to describe the then-present state of the Roman society. Nevertheless, those four words accurately and succinctly characterize modern America. foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. The first word, foolish, can also be translated stupid. That's right, I said it. The S word, the Christian S word, stupid. And American culture is obsessed with the stupid. Just look at the stuff we watch on TV. Watch the latest episode of anything on MTV. Or for that matter, cable networks or network television. You'll find stupidity rather quickly just by turning on the television. We even buy shirts, don't we? We buy shirts with the phrase, "I'm with stupid," plastered across the front. Sometimes the arrow's pointing away from us. Sometimes the arrow's pointing at us. Our folly knows no bounds, by the way. Over in Huntington Park, which is down in L.A., you've got council members over there appointing two illegal immigrants as city commissioners. How dumb is that? And I've got some thoughts that I'll share eventually on immigrants and illegal immigration, that sort of thing. But it's illegal in the first place. And yes, God's word, I am persuaded, does address this topic, and we'll deal with it in due time. But how stupid is this? How foolish! We're appointing non-citizens as city commissioners. One's going to be over education, one's going to be over parks and rec. You can see our folly in the decriminalization as well as legalization of marijuana. Things don't get better when you legalize marijuana. I know there are some drug aficionados who would like to argue otherwise, but according to a report from the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area report, the claims that marijuana legalization for medical and recreational purposes would have a positive impact on the state and numerous communities have been debunked by the study, and statistics appear to substantiate this observation from an anecdotal and scientific perspective. Crime, impaired driving, the increase in lawlessness, it's all increasing, it's all going up, according to these reports. And this is from the California State Sheriff's Association, an article in their July 2015 magazine, California Sheriff. And so things don't get better when you legalize marijuana, when you decriminalize marijuana. It only gets worse. Behold our folly. Oh, by the way, did you see the news article about the man who decapitated his wife, killed his two dogs, and then cut off his own eye and hand? Gouged out his eye, his right eye, and cut off his hand. You know why he did that? He was high on synthetic marijuana. An hour before he did these things, this is according to Breitbart.com, by the way, high on synthetic marijuana, he cuts off his wife's head, he kills his two dogs, gouges out his own eye, and cuts off his hand. Yeah, it doesn't get better. Behold our folly. And then we have the question about ethics, the ethics of hunting. Yes, our folly here in America apparently knows no bounds. Far too often, our stupidity is linked with ungodliness. So it's no wonder that a secondary definition of that word foolish there in Romans 1:31 is just that, ungodly. Yes, where folly is, sin is crouching at the door. Sin is not far behind folly. Foolish. Faithless. It means untrustworthy when it comes to keeping covenant. In fact, your old American Standard Version, your King James Version, translated as just that. They don't keep covenant. And many so-called Christians today in America live their lives as though there is no God. They live their lives as though they've not entered into covenant by the blood of his son. In fact, they do the very opposite of that. They trample underfoot the blood of the Son of God. Yeah, that's how we're faithless. We don't uphold our end of the covenant. Listen, God will be faithful even if we are faithless. And his people, tragically, historically, have been people who have not kept covenant. Read your Old Testament. And when that happened, judgment came. That's not a good thing. Five of the seven churches in Asia are told, repent, by none other than the Son of God himself. Repent. Why? Not keeping covenant. In a broader sense, of course, you're probably aware that America is witnessing the rise of the nones. The non-religious. Those who do not identify with any religious group. America is growing more and more faithless. I've reported on this before about how those who stand for truth, those who stand for doctrine, are holding their own. They're not necessarily getting bigger, but they're holding their own. But it is those who are abandoning doctrines like how Scripture is the Word of God, those who are liberal or progressive in their view of Christianity, in their view of Scripture and God, they're losing members hand over fist. They're abandoning ship. Why? Faithlessness. Foolish. Faithless. And many Americans are heartless as well. Literally, the word that's used here has to do with lacking familial affection. No love for the family. There's no love for the family. In fact, what you see in America is the systematic destruction of the family unit. What do you think the legalization of homosexual marriage is all about? It's an effort to undermine the traditional and even the historical as well as the biblical view of marriage and the family. Well, that hasn't worked for whatever. It's not working. And so why not give these homosexual couples... Listen. There's a reason that God established and ordained one man and one woman. And why he does say things like, in the law, do not commit adultery. Which is reiterated in the New Testament. Do not be faithless to that covenant. Do not be unfaithful to the covenant of marriage. Don't seek a divorce. But seek reconciliation. And yet, again, it's true that the statistics, they're going down, but it's because people aren't getting married. And there, yet again, is another subtle attempt at undermining the traditional family unit, which, by the way, the family is the backbone of any society. Rome, they did it in their day. They sought to destroy the family unit. And the traditional understanding of what a family is and marriage and all those things, they're not in existence anymore today, are they? Oh, they limped along for a century or two, but eventually they went into business too. And many today are heartless. They have no love for the family. Indeed, isn't this the attribute of what would cause a mother to abort her unborn baby? Listen, I know there's a lot of deception and sleight of hand when it comes to abortion, where these doctors, quote-unquote, these folks at the Planned Parenthood facilities, they won't show these expectant mothers the ultrasound. Because if you look at the ultrasound, and I've looked at a few of them, because I've had a few kids of my own, that's a baby in there. That's another person. And they've got arms, and they've got legs, and they've got a torso, and they've got a head, and there's a brain, and there's a heart, and you can see the little heart pumping blood. You show an expectant mother that, and there is no mistaking that's a baby in there. That's not what these doctors will, they'll intentionally not show them the ultrasound so that they know, they don't start to think about the baby in there. No. They'll even change the language. It's a fetus. That's just a fetus, a blob of tissue. But there is, in many cases, a lack of love. The mother has other things going on in her world, and so she can't have a baby right now. Yeah, heartless. Heartlessness, that would cause a mother to abort her unborn baby. It's the same thing which would cause a father to abandon his family. And you have a lot of single mother, a lot of single mothers out there struggling, doing their best to raise their children because they've been abandoned by their baby daddy or by their husband who's run off with another woman. Or a husband who thinks that it's a good idea to sling coke on a corner, and I'm not talking about soda, in order to try and make money. Or to engage in other illicit, unlawful, illegal activities to try and earn a living, and ends up in behind bars, in prison. You want to know one of the fastest ways to drive the prison system out of business in this country? You want an end to all this institutional racism, quote unquote? Stop breaking the law. Stop breaking the law. It's that simple. And if you don't break the law, you won't get in trouble with the law, and you won't go to jail or prison. But heartlessness, yeah, a father abandoning his family because he has no love for the family. He has love for another woman, or he has love for his particular work. Listen, and it's not just those who are slinging rock on the corner, okay? You can still come from a middle-class family, middle-class social, you can come from an upper-class, high-income type family, and you can still be heartless towards your family. And get consumed by your work and be a workaholic and abandon your family. Even though, yeah, you're still married to your wife, you're not there. You're not really there. Heartlessness is what will cause children to talk back to their families, talk back to their parents, even hate their parents. You got a lot of teenagers that hate their parents. Why do you think one of the main things I try to impress upon young people, teenagers, is honor your father and mother. That's what Scripture tells us to do. Because if you don't honor father and mother, instead of honor, you will be heartless. Heartlessness is also what's at the bottom of government passing legislation which is detrimental to the traditional family unit. And I've already talked about homosexual marriage. Heartlessness, no love for the family, no love for what God instituted at the very beginning, one man and one woman, for life. Yes, behold, America, contained right here in this one little verse, four little words, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Ruthless is the word which means lack of mercy, no mercy. Lo ruhama in the Hebrew. There's no mercy. What comes to mind immediately is the political realm, for me at least. Maybe it's something else for you, but no mercy. Jay Leno, back in the 90s, he once defined politics. He said it's a compound word from poly, meaning many, and ticks, meaning bloodsuckers. The political game is a merciless one. It's ruthless. And we are seeing this ramp up today at unprecedented levels. We're still over a year out from a presidential election, and it's already ramping up. And watch, just watch, not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but it's only going to get worse. I've been through a couple of these cycles. I know how this works. It's only going to get worse, the mudslinging and all that. But you know what? This is also an apt description of what happens on the playground. When parents raise children who will mercilessly bully other kids. You ever been there? Guilty. I was one of those kids. And listen, I don't want to fault my parents, but there are some things I look back. Here's secret public journal time, by the way. I look back at the way I treated some other kids, and I intentionally and purposefully tell my kids now, you don't ever make someone feel small or little. You stand up for the little guy. I didn't do that. I can look back on my life and I see I didn't stand up for the little guy. I didn't stand up for those who were being picked on and bullied. Ruthless. Merciless. That's what it looks like. And again, welcome to America, the Rome of the 21st century. Paul was describing the then present state of Roman society then. He might as well be describing American society today. It's exactly where we are. And these Planned Parenthood videos that keep showing up, and there's only going to be more of them. They have about a dozen of these videos, so this is going to go on for several more weeks, several more months. Okay, this stuff isn't going away. It's here to stay. And so let me deal with today in church history. It's not so much today. I don't have an historical event or anything like that, but I got to wondering, what did the early church fathers, early church writers think about abortion? And I've got a page here with several excerpts pertaining to abortion. And I'm just going to deal with one. And that's from my boy Tertullian. I love Tertullian. He's written some pretty good stuff. And I need to dig more into his life. But he's got a couple of quotes here from his work, De Anima. In De Anima, he talks about they, that's John and Jesus, were both alive while still in the womb. Elizabeth rejoiced as the infant leaped in her womb. Mary glorifies the Lord because Christ within inspired her. Each mother recognizes her child, and each is known by her child who is alive, being not merely souls, but also spirits. Yeah, there's life in the womb. And he shows from these biblical accounts, Jesus and John, they were both babies in utero. He goes on, he says, thus you read the word of God, spoke to Jeremias. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jeremiah 1, verse 5 is that? If God forms us in the womb, he also breathes on us as he did in the beginning. And God formed man and breathed into him the breath of life. That's from Genesis chapter 2. Nor could God have known man in the womb unless he were a whole man. And before thou camest forth from the womb, I sanctified thee. Goes back to Jeremiah. Was it then a dead body at that stage? Surely it was not. For God is the God of the living and not the dead. In Apologia, another one of his works, he says, it is not permissible for us to destroy the seed by means of illicit manslaughter once it has been conceived in the womb, so long as blood remains in the person. And this is typical, by the way. Tertullian is typical. He wrote in the 3rd century, this is typical of Orthodox Christianity, of these early church writers. They all unanimously raise their voice and say, abortion, the termination of a pregnancy so that the baby dies, that's wrong. It is morally wrong. Which leads me to the question of the day.
And now it's time for the question of the day. Question of the day. Question. This is the question of the day on Life from the Pulpit.
Is abortion morally wrong? Does God's word say anything about abortion? Indeed, it is morally wrong, and God's word does speak a word concerning abortion. I know there will be some who try to do some kind of scriptural sleight of hand in order to make abortion seem like it's not a big deal, and, you know, it's why are we getting all uptight about it? But it is a big deal. It is a big deal. And before I go on to the biblical text, let me just say, I know there's a lot of anger, and I know there's a lot of outrage, and maybe in the previous episode I didn't express enough outrage for some of you, but here's the thing. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, James 1 and verse 20. I am persuaded, we need to be careful about how we talk to people about this subject because it is such a volatile subject. Those young women who are thinking about getting an abortion, who are thinking about going through with it, they need to see Christ in us. That's why I dealt at some length yesterday about our hearts and how we need to be loyal first and foremost to God. Again, go back and listen to that episode. And if all they see is anger, if all they see is outrage, I'm not sure they're seeing Christ. I know Christ, he got angry, he was outraged about certain things, but they do need to see gentleness and respect as we seek to make a reasoned response for the things that we hope for, the things we believe in. That's what we need to impress upon people, is that God, he still cares about you. And he especially cares for that unborn baby in your womb. God is concerned about the unborn. Listen, the other day I knew there was this passage. I couldn't find it, and finally I did. When men strive together and hit a pregnant woman so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So here's these two guys, and they're tussling about out in the open, out in the marketplace, and one of them accidentally hits this woman, this pregnant woman, in the belly, or somehow hits her so that, and her children come out. Even if there's no harm, no foul to the baby, there still may be a fine imposed. It's up to the husband's discretion if he wants to. You still may pay. God is concerned about that baby. If that baby comes out and there's, listen what he says here. But if there is harm, verse 23, if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If something happened to that baby when these two guys were fighting and one of them hits the guy who hit the pregnant woman and caused some kind of malady, even the death of that baby, life for life. That was the rule. You want to, again, you ask, is God concerned about those babies in there? You better believe it. And these abortion doctors, these doctors so-called who are performing these abortions, will have a lot to answer for. And if a mother is complicit in this, folks, this is what we need to impress upon folks. God cares about that baby. He cares about the soul of that mother, and her soul's getting ready to be damaged by the stuff that's about to happen to her. Not just her body, but her soul. And that baby, God cares about that baby. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook Life from the Pulpit. Like the Facebook page, and you'll get all the updates when I go live with the podcast updates, a blog, or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Question of the Day segments there for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Be sure and check out the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E, from the pulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Philippians, now Ephesians, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store. Download all the episodes to your particular iDevice. You'll never be more than a click away from an episode of the podcast. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio there as well to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.